Good morning. Happy to be here. Our conversation this morning is coming from the Bhagavad Gita. And it's going to be a series for the next few weeks. We are following up what we are guided by the divine love. Of what we need to remember for this year. And in this series, it's about nine of them. Some will fuse together, and some will stand on their own. Here's what he said in the Bhagavad Gita. You have a right to perform your duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. We're going to break that down because it sounds so upside down. You have the right to do, but you don't have the right to results. Seriously? Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. That was Lord Krishna talking. And when the great ones like that talk, we listen, because they are filled with that divine wisdom, that nectar of wisdom. So, and that is in the Bhagavad Gita, you could say chapter 2, verse 47 or verse 247, 2.47. And that is the foundation of detachment, of non-attachment. The Bhagavad Gita's teaching on non-attachment is one of its most transformative insights. Precisely because it does not ask us to withdraw from life, but to relate to it more wisely. Because if we don't think like that, we will think it's telling us the opposite. So we will break it down. The verse, you have a right to perform your duty, but not to the fruits of action, is not a denial of meaning or a rejection of joy. It is an reorientation of where freedom truly lies. It shifts our center of gravity from external outcome, from results, which we cannot control, to the inner posture from which we can act. You can only give what you have. How it turns out that you can't control that. We can turn on the heat in the house, but we can control the weather. So do we bother about that? No, we just, okay, what we can control, let's do it. When we first hear that we are not entitled to the results of our actions, it can sound as though we are being asked to stop caring. Yet Lord Krishna is doing the opposite. He invites us into the most intense form of caring, complete commitment to right action without being chained by anxiety, ego, or craving over what follows. We are asked to give ourselves fully to the present task, but to release the illusion that outcomes are ever fully in our hands. This is not what they call nihilism, it is maturity. Because most of us were aware when we want certain results, the craving, the anxiety, the rough weather when things doesn't turn out. And then we tell God, what have you done for me lately? Because it didn't turn out the way we wanted it. Non-attachment becomes especially clear when we look at how suffering arises. Please pay attention to this. How do we make ourselves suffer? Much of our distress is not from events themselves, but from the stories we tell about them. This must happen or I'm a failure. If this person leaves, I'm unlovable. If my plans change, my life is ruined. We've seen this. And we have true participants in them, aren't we? We create tight knots of expectation and then feel strangled by them. The guitar gently unties those knots by reminding us control belongs to effort. That's all you can do. You can only put in that effort, not to results. You can shape your intention, your discipline, your sincerity, but not every variable in the universe. This opens the door to an incredible kind of fearlessness when you know there's nothing you can do about the weather. So go for what you want that you can control. When action is no longer driven by desperation for reward or avoidance of blame, it becomes clearer, steadier, and more joyful. The student studies out of love for learning rather than panic about grades. The artist creates because creativity itself is fulfilling, not because they must be praised. The parent loves the child not as a project that must turn out right, but as a living presence to be cherished moment by moment. This is what it means to be in the world, but not owned by it. Of course, like some will say, well, you've never met the tiger mama yet. If you have met the tiger mama, they are raising the kid is about the end result. But then how does that work? Other traditions, it's not just from the Bhagavad Gita. Other traditions echo this wisdom in their own language. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, who is a Christian mystic, spoke of holy indifference. Not apathy, but the willingness to choose what leads toward the good, regardless of personal preference. Buddhism calls it equanimity, the steady mind that remains present amid gain and loss, praise and blame, pleasure and pain. All of these point to the same inner stance, full participation without imprisonment. Part of non-attachment is to unclutter one's life. Now we are going to the title. And to unclutter one's mind. We all know what clutter is. In other words, unclutter your life. Unclutter your mind. And to begin to do this, we must let go of the stories we tell ourselves. Change is hard. For those of us, if you've ever tried, you know. But that is how you know it is working. If you ever try to lose weight, you will know. Did you ever stop to ponder how the things we owned end up owning us? Life is superfluous when it is cluttered with unnecessary desires that we think we needed. It is because we choose to find value in the comfort that those desires bring. I mean, you can imagine you own a brand new car that you love, right? And then you dedicate 6 hours a day to it. Now, who owns what? You sit in your room, you wonder if even the rat in the neighborhood or the cat has gone to scratch your car. In my experience, comfort serves primarily as an obstacle to growth. And growth should be the only thing we value. And that is why they advise us to be unattached. And we forget that comfort becomes an obstacle on the path of growth if we are not careful. It does not mean we shouldn't be comfortable. But when that's all we seek, so, and they say, well, you need to change your job. Oh, no, I like where I am. When later on, if we're able to just say, okay, I'll relocate, and then we find out, say, oh my God, this is what I've been waiting for. And the new awareness of things to learn. Let me repeat that. And we forget that comfort becomes an obstacle on the path of growth if we are not careful. And if we are not growing, we cannot make progress. That's just life. And the truth is we have no choice but to progress because that is how life works. We need to progress, especially if we're to have and live a fulfilling life. We think the road to happiness is to fill a void that says we are not enough. Because we all go through this in our head. I don't know why we do it, but we do. When in reality, we are enough, capable and creative. We must never allow our identity to be tied to material possessions and outward appearances. For in doing so, we continue to live the tragedy and darkness of ignorance. Each and every one of us has the capacity for happiness locked deep inside. It's inside of us. The question is whether we have the will to access it. So I want to expand on that uncluttering thing. Uncluttering life and mind is central to non-attachment because attachment often hides inside accumulation of bad thoughts, accumulation of objects, opinions. How many times have we accumulated opinions and we think we're only to find out, oh no. Accumulations of roles we play in our everyday life. And especially the inner stories we tell ourselves. The external clutter around us mirrors the eternal clutter within us. When we simplify what we own, how we spend time, and what we chase, we begin to see more clearly what is actually essential. I think sometimes I call that the Libyan effect. The first step is noticing the stories we tell ourselves. I will be happy when I buy this. I'm only valuable if others approve. I must stay comfortable to feel safe. These stories quietly shape choices, and they feel familiar, even comforting, which is why change feels difficult. But difficulty is often a signal of growth. Muscles ache when strengthened, isn't it? The same is true for the mind and heart. Growth stretches identity, loses old patterns, and requires letting go of illusions that once felt secure. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is not telling us we shouldn't have things. Possessions themselves are not the problem. The psychological way we place on them is. We begin acquiring things to serve us, and slowly we start serving them, caring for them, worrying about losing them, defining ourselves through them. In that sense, what we own can end up owning our attention, our time, and sense of self. Clutter, both physical or mental, crowds out presence. It feels silence that could have become insight and space that could have become freedom. Take, for example, before you get into a relationship, you have your freedom to do whatever you want. Then you get into a relationship, you have expectations. You want to please each other, or sometimes you don't want to please each other. Whatever it is, you can no longer be who you truly are. Because we want to please people around us. The child wants to please the mama. The mama will go to any length to please the child. There's nothing wrong with that. But then, when we do not see clearly that we also deserve to live our life, all of these things will break down during the course of this unattachment. Comfort is subtle. It is not wrong, but when elevated to a central value, it becomes an obstacle. Non-attachment does not reject life. It frees you and I from dependence on objects, appearances, and the constant urge to prove you are enough. We do that in relationships all the time, at work. Even we do that on the street with the weather. Isn't that the known thing about the Oregonians? Or maybe it's the Portlanders. They don't use umbrella when it rains. we try to prove to the weather, okay. And then we get drenched and then we're shivering and all of that. You already are enough, capable, creative, and complete. Happiness is not imported from outside. We all know this. It is uncovered within. The work is simple but not easy. We should release what is unnecessary, question the stories of lack, and choose growth over comfort. Every day presents countless opportunities to practice this teaching of detachment or non-attachment. For example, if you are stuck in traffic, instead of fuming, use it as an opportunity to discover yourself. How many people practice that? To maintain that balance, that equanimity, to be balanced within, to actually even laugh at the traffic, maintaining calm despite circumstances beyond our control. Here at work, you receive criticism at work. Rather than defending or deflating, stay centered, listen, learn what is useful. Let go of what isn't. You've heard that expression, learn to listen, listen to learn. The beauty is that by doing this, that balance becomes self-reinforcing. The more you practice, stay in balance, the less external events can shake us. Then we become like a mountain that the storms can rage around but still remains unmoved. We know Mount Hood about that, Mount Bachelors. Now, for the modern seekers, you don't need to quit your job or abandon family to grow spiritually. Your workplace becomes your spiritual practice. Your relationships become opportunities for self-love. Every task, from washing dishes to leading companies, becomes a spiritual practice when done without attachment. The key is shifting focus from what I will get to what needs to be done. When you stop clinging to results, we achieve better outcomes. That's what I have discovered. Because then the anxiety, the ego, all that, you put it aside. You give it your best, that's it. The highest success comes through this detached engagement. We should notice the quality that Lord Krishna talks about here. Ever content, depending on nothing. Because this isn't the contentment that comes after achieving goals. Oh, okay. It is a contentment that exists regardless of circumstances, before action, during action, and after action. Most of us are like beggars, constantly depending on outcomes for happiness. Got the promotion, happy for a day. Didn't get it, miserable for weeks. We have made our inner peace a slave to the external events. But the detached person has found a wellspring of contentment within. They work excellently because it's right, not because they need results for happiness. Every situation becomes a teacher. Traffic tests patience. Criticism tests ego. Success tests pride. Failure tests resilience. Even those who have been, who by world standard are very successful. If you go and read about their stories, they don't talk about the things that didn't work, but they learn from it. Was it Bill Gates that said, we rather hire someone who has tried and has failed than someone who is projecting this thing? Because you learn from that. Everything teaches us. So we need to remind ourselves that contentment precedes achievement. Instead of chasing fulfillment, you act from fulfillment. Outwardly, nothing may change, but inwardly, everything has. That is why we don't need to retreat from life to grow spiritually. If we pay attention within our community and around us, we will find out that those people are non-attached. They tend to become everybody's friend. Do you know why? Because they have no personal agenda. Their kindness isn't transactional. It flows naturally like sunlight, warming all equally. So I now invite you to let your non-attached inner glow, is there, to flow effortlessly and naturally, warming your own heart, your own life, and allowing you to be your best self every day, every nanosecond of your life, of my life, and of all lives now. The question is whether you are willing to let it be. Now, here's a story to wrap this up. Husband said to his wife, "I'm going out with my friends." She replied, "Okay." After a while, the son said, "Mother, I got my results for mock exam and it's not good." The son expected to get a scolding from his mother, but to his surprise, his mother calmly said, "Okay. If you work hard, you'll be able to do good. And if not, you have to repeat the semester. It's up to you." Next day, her daughter came to her and hesitantly said, "Mother, I smashed the car." Daughter was scared that mother would get angry, but to her surprise, she said, "Okay, take it to the mechanic, to the car shop, and get it fixed." This mother is usually irritated and grumpy. Now, suddenly, changed. What changed? Seeing such reactions, everyone got worried and thought, something is wrong. Everyone came to her and asked, "Are you okay? Is something wrong? Why are you acting so calm?" She smiled and replied, "It took me a long time to realize that each person is responsible for their own life. I realized that my anguish, worrying, anxiety, stress doesn't solve your problems but aggravates mine." "I realize that I can only give you advice if you ask, but it depends on you to follow or not. Whatever decision you take, its consequences, good or bad, you will have to live with them. I am not responsible for actions of anyone. I realize that I can only control myself. My job is to care for you, love you, encourage you, but after that, it all depends on you to solve your problems and find your own happiness. Therefore, I will remain calm and let each of you solve your problems yourself." Everyone at home was speechless. From that day on, the family began to function better because everyone in the house knew exactly what it is that they needed to do. That is how a non-attached person lives. And all of us, we can be like that mother. And we discover you can only control what you can. You can't control the results. May we be inspired by such non-attached role. And may we live well and do well. Amen.